We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He should be going like three rounds higher. But I think, again, it's those health concerns that are probably keeping him from rising up draft boards.
It's September 2022, Dolphins at Ravens. This is Remember That Game, the podcast about sporting events that take you on a journey and maybe chart the path of a zeitgeist. I'm your host, Thomas Emmerich, and my guest is RotoViz Managing Editor and co-owner, Blair Andrews. This game may be a preview of a game marked on the calendars of fans and particularly fantasy players. Week 17, Dolphins return to Baltimore, where they won 42-38 last season before injuries had their way with both teams. And Blair, you've been researching for season preview pieces, so we're diving into this one from 2022, week 2. How fun is it that we get to put this one back on stage in December 2023 and here on the podcast?
A blast to watch last season. It's so exciting that these teams face off now in what is maybe the most important week for fantasy gamers. So yeah, ton of fun.
Is this year's week 17 Ravens Fins tilt the most hype you can recall for a game months out in the discourse among high stakes fantasy players?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's only right in the last few years that it seems like high stakes players have been paying so much attention to the week 17 matchups. I mean, last year, Bengals-Bills, of course, was huge. And even this year, Bengals-Chiefs. So, I don't know. I mean, if anything, considering what these two teams did in week two, if we take that as kind of a, or in 2022, if we take that as kind of a starting point, you can almost make an argument that people aren't paying enough attention to this game.
This one was pretty wild, and if it's any sort of preview, a lot there for the folks who invested in Ravens and Dolphins in season long and maybe have, like, you know, an underdog or Scott Fishbowl, a big field they need to come out on top of in week 17. You could say this was the Ravens 28-3 since Miami scored 4 touchdowns to the Ravens 1 field goal in the fourth quarter. Then Tua, Tyreek, Waddle led them back and filled the stat sheet with some pretty heavy concentration of production between those three, as they do. Going into 23 here, is Tua's health the biggest X factor of the fantasy landscape? And is it also the most indecipherable factor for fantasy football players?
Yeah, it's definitely what I think Miami's season and a lot of fantasy seasons kind of will hinge on. And you can tell that fantasy managers are kind of uncertain about it because Tua, I think, in underdog leagues is like tail end of the 8th round right now. Based on the numbers he put up last year, if he had been healthy, you'd expect that to be a lot higher. So I think, everyone's a little bit unsure about what to expect, but it's definitely an important, would have big ramifications throughout the season.
Checking out the RotoViz Game Splits app, Waddle goes up 4 points in PPR, while Tyreek Hill, it gets an 8-point boost in games where Tua Tagovailoa throws more than 25 passes, which is a a filter to weed out the three games where he obviously had a concussion.
Right.
And this type of production under Tua versus Bridgewater and Skylar Thompson last year. This year, Bridgewater out, but Skylar Thompson and Mike White. I nearly said Skylar White, as I almost do every time. This is going to be very difficult. It wasn't preordained really at the time. Coming into this game here, week two, Tua didn't have a huge week one. He was came in 150-1 MVP odds compared to Lamar Jackson's 22-1. Both teams came in 1-0 through more on the strength of their defenses. Ravens held under 300 yards by the Jets, while Miami hosted New England and won comfortably, but scoring just the one offensive touchdown. They would put more on the board here, spoiler alert. How invested were you in season long with these teams last year, and what kind of roller coaster were the first couple weeks like?
I think most of my exposure in season long would have been to Jalen Waddle and a little bit to Rashad Bateman, probably, and you know, some of the quarterbacks as well, but it was definitely a bit of a roller coaster ride. I mean, Waddle ended up, of course, you know, destroying anyway. I think he had the most fantasy points over expectation of any wide receiver last season. So you know, most of that coming in games where Tua played, but definitely pleased with what he was able to do last year, and he'll probably be one of my highest owned players again.
Yeah, a lot of that damage with Tua there, extrapolating the Tua games again. Waddle's up to 7th in PPR, and Tyreek Hill goes up to 1st above Justin Jefferson when extrapolating. In the RotoViz NFL Stat Explorer, you see how much of it rides on Tua. He was 3rd in fantasy points over expectation per game, and then helping Waddle to the great over expectation numbers. And you mentioned Bateman there. So Ravens' first offensive touchdown, a slant that Bateman takes 75 yards to the house. Are we Rashad Bateman truthers here and going over to the Ravens' pass core, you know, new look this season? Where are you bullish and bearish?
Yeah, I'm still a believer in Rashad Bateman. He's probably my favorite of their pass catchers besides Mark Andrews there. They obviously have the rookie Zay Flowers coming in who, you know, I personally think maybe a little bit overdrafted, but he does have a pretty intriguing profile and could do some things. Odell Beckham coming in as a veteran, you know, 2 years basically removed from his last NFL action, I think. Not necessarily that bullish on his outlook, but it's kind of like maybe the price the Ravens had to pay to re-sign Lamar Jackson. So could be a win from that from that standpoint.
Before Bateman gets the Ravens' second touchdown, the Ravens nearly expand their lead, fumbled at the snap. Dolphins backed up on their own against their own end zone, and Waddle gets them out of it. McDaniel somehow gets Waddle on Patrick Queen, and yikes. Catch and run goes wild. At the end of that drive, you have a tunnel screen to Waddle for a touchdown in the red zone. Hill and Waddle both put up run after the catch numbers on this day. We're able to do a lot of work there. How much did this impact the way you evaluated them?
I mean, we always knew that these were like two of the fastest guys in the NFL. I mean, between these two, Mostert, you know, they had A-Chain. I mean, Dolphins have probably the fastest skill players in the whole league. That's obviously going to make an impact in terms of yards after catch. We know Hill can do a lot with the ball in his hands. I think he was actually 3rd in fantasy points over expectation last season. You know, obviously it's surprising to see them put up these kind of yards after the catch, but I mean, this is kind of who they are. And it'll be difficult, I think, in 2023 for them both to kind of replicate the efficiency they had last year, but I'm hopeful still.
Speaking of efficiency, we go over to the Ravens side in the first half here. Jackson hits Mark Andrews up the seam, called a touchdown, but a replay reverses it. So they get at the one play action for Mark Andrews to get his touchdown. The call coming in from Greg Roman. Todd Monken replacing him is generally considered to be a bullish factor going into the forecast. Where are you on the Monken boost?
That is an interesting question. I think, you know, Greg Roman has been able to get a lot out of mobile quarterbacks in particular, and it helps that he's had guys like Jackson and like Colin Kaepernick. But even you look back at like his Buffalo teams with Tyrod Taylor, he was able to get Taylor to put up stats that we've never seen him do in any other situation. So there's something about, you know, there might be something to that and Roman's success with quarterbacks like Jackson. On the other hand, you mentioned that sequence we saw at the end of the first quarter with the Ravens running. I think they ran it up the middle with Kenyon Drake. Then they try two times with Mike Davis. And then again, up the middle, try to sneak it with Lamar Jackson before the fumble. I mean, these are pretty frustrating play calls that you hope with Monken coming in, bringing maybe more of the college style offense, more spread offense, you see some more creative things near the goal line. Yeah, it's kind of hard to evaluate. I think Monken in his NFL history track record has not had a quarterback as talented as Jackson is. So it'll be pretty interesting to see what he's able to do. He kind of has a reputation as a guy who likes to air it out, but he didn't do that as much in Cleveland or his first year in Tampa Bay. So I think he's probably the sort of coordinator who kind of can tailor the scheme to fit his personnel, which is a good thing, which is what you would hope to see. And I think it could be really exciting to see what he brings to Baltimore. More up-tempo, more no huddle is what we're hearing. So that would be pretty fun.
More fun like their offense in the first half as opposed to the second half. They go into halftime up 28-7. Andrews is about 5 for 50 and a touchdown going into the half. Take that, about 16 PPR going in. Lamar to Andrews looked unstoppable early on as Ravens expanded their lead before the Dolphins came roaring back and before Jackson went out later in the year. What kind of shot does Andrews have at entering the Kelsey tier this season?
I mean, I think he's got a good shot to kind of enter that elite tier. I mean, nobody is Travis Kelsey, but we've seen Andrews put up similar sorts of numbers before. Just a few years ago, he was, you know, being drafted in the first round in a lot of leagues, especially tight end premium ones. So he has that upside. He has that potential. If Jackson can stay healthy and the offense is a little more, a little more like what we saw in the first half of this game, then I think there's definitely a possibility for Andrews to get up there and be, you know, we're talking about him as a first round pick next year, perhaps.
And we're about to see a bonkers second half from the Dolphins offense, particularly in the fourth quarter. But first, Lamar Jackson, 77 yards to the house. That ends up cutting it to 35-14 after the Dolphins do get into the end zone in the third quarter. But 35-14 entering the fourth on ESPN, they had 99% win probability at that point. They go off. You see kind of the potential there for the Dolphins. Do you think the ADP market for the big hitters here with Tua, Hill, and Waddle, or is there too much doubt priced in when comparing last year's cost to now in drafts?
I think so, particularly for Tua and for even a little bit for Waddle. When you see a wide receiver put up the kind of efficiency numbers that Waddle just did, it's almost always a signal that they are going to be getting more opportunity in the future. And we kind of got a taste of that in this week two game. I think Waddle had, 19 targets? So he never got that many again in 2022, but it's kind of, you're seeing a glimpse of the sort of stat line that he could put up, even with Hill also having a good game. So I think, there's a little bit, you know, Waddle might, even in the beginning of the second round, might be a little bit undervalued. Tua, I think, is probably, you know, he should be going like three rounds higher. But I think, again, it's those health concerns that are probably keeping him from rising up draft boards.
Yeah, and Waddle has a big drive, lots of run after catch on the first touchdown of the fourth quarter, bringing it to 35-21. And then Tyreek Hill would get behind the defense for two long touchdowns, 48 and 60 yards. He can pretty much waltz into the end zone for each of them. Ravens end up being outscored 28-3 in this quarter. What kind of fantasy outing might J.K. Dobbins have had in this game with the Ravens up nearly throughout?
You know, for most running backs, they don't seem to have a very big impact on kind of the outcome of the game in a huge way. One thing you can do if you go into the RotoViz Team Splits app is you can see how the Ravens have performed with and without Dobbins. And it's actually pretty fascinating just how valuable he is to the team, to the offense, in terms of the number of points they put up and the number of expected wins, the number of, you know, basically all the offensive efficiency metrics have a huge improvement when he's on the field. So, you know, in this game, you have Lamar Jackson throwing, well, only 29 attempts. Yeah, it wasn't even like it was a high volume game for Jackson. So the other Ravens, they put up like a total of 36 yards. Jackson had 120, 119. So you would really like to see what Dobbins would have been able to do in this one, because obviously these other running backs were not getting it done.
Dobbins misses the first couple of weeks here in 2022, including this week two game. Comes back and fits and starts, but eventually has a pretty impressive stretch in some ways. Do you think he can command the type of backfield share going forward that those taking him in, say, the fourth round anticipate?
Yeah, he can. And I think if you're expecting Lamar Jackson to be healthy and for this offense to be as good as they looked in the first half of this game, then you don't even necessarily need a huge share for Dobbins to pay off at that price, because he's going to have so much touchdown equity and so many goal line opportunities that, you know, we know he's one of the most efficient runners in the league, averaging, you know, over 6 yards a carry in a lot of seasons. So some of that is likely to regress to the mean, but still in this offense with his talent, you know, the volume is nice, but he doesn't need to have necessarily a huge workload to pay off at that price. But he probably will. I mean, they don't really have anyone else besides Jackson.
Touched on the Ravens backfield share, really spread out there. Kenyon Drake led them with 6 carries. You got Mike Davis with 5, Justice Hill with 3. On the other side, the Dolphins rushers less evenly distributed, but not by a ton. Raheem Mostert, leader in carries, 11 for 51. And then you have a Chase Edmonds, actually big run toward the end that gets him to 5 for 33. Dolphins were back 21 points in the first 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. 35-35, we're all tied up. Ravens answer with a field goal. Dolphins get it back. 2-minute drill. Down to 45 seconds left, and they're at the Ravens' 35-yard line. Yeah, halfback out of the shotgun. Chase Edmonds takes it down to the 7-yard line, sets it up for the thrilling finish here coming up. How do you go about evaluating Mike McDaniel's backfield and distribution after what we saw last season and then the moves they made this offseason?
It's pretty interesting. I was expecting, I think, for him to maybe commit more to one running back. I had kind of bet that it would be Mostert in a lot of my fantasy leagues. So a little disappointing that not only Edmonds was worked in, I mean, you know, only 5 carries, but he did have that big run to really set them up to win the game. And then, you know, later in the season, Jeff Wilson was in there too. But yeah, I think it's probably the, you know, if there's like an optimal way to manage a backfield like this, that might be close to it. Having these guys split it fairly evenly. You know, and then they drafted Devin Achane this year. He's kind of interesting as like a speed guy and a pass catcher. So it'll be Kind of anyone's guess as to how it all unfolds this season. I'm still fairly bullish on Mostert, but yeah, not as much as I was last season after seeing how McDaniel kind of likes to manage these guys' workloads.
Get the ball down to the 7 after that big run by Edmonds. Eventually Tua rolls left, buys a little time, hits Jalen Waddle up top for the go-ahead score. Ravens get it back. Enough time for a Hail Mary that actually seemed like Bateman could have had a shot at, but he appeared to think he was like held. And that's the ball game, 42-38. Not a second went by that was uninteresting. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, was this the most exhilarating regular season game of 2022?
For me, probably it was. Watching it as a Ravens fan, I was excited throughout and disappointed at the end. So, exhilarating for most of it, but then just kind of crushing blow when they give up so many points in the fourth quarter and can't even hang on to win the game. So yeah, it's tough. But a lot of fun to watch for most of it.
That Hail Mary works out, which it seemed like interestingly close to coming through, or yeah, to Bateman coming away with it based on just like how many bodies were around where the ball came down.
Yeah.
Didn't seem that dense. That would have boosted Bateman to 155 yards. And two touchdowns. And then things start to fall apart. The secondary gets injured. Bateman goes on IR. He wasn't long for that season. And then Lamar later on with the injury and the contract situation. And then the Dolphins side, you have some what could have been there. Tua following week against Buffalo, the concussion. And then the one after that against Cincy. He misses some time in the middle of the season. Comes back week 7 through 10 per the RotoViz NFL Stat Explorer QB1 performances. Back on top of the world for folks who bought in on the Dolphins, and then it comes crashing down again. Which team do you feel like had more of a lost season, or is there any other team in the league you can think of besides these two that had more of a what could have been season than Dolphins and Ravens here?
Well, I'm a little biased, but I do think the Ravens definitely had some real unfortunate injury luck with Bateman going down and Lamar Jackson and Dobbins never seeming to be fully healthy. A lot of potential there that feels like wasn't quite realized. I mean, obviously the way Tua was playing was just amazing, and to have him go down really in kind of in a really such an unfortunate way too is a real bummer. Yeah, it really is hard to think. Looked so promising to start the season. And, you know, for the first half of the season, and then just kind of collapsed in the way that these two teams did.
As a Ravens fan, you had your success in the early 2000s and the Flacco run in 2012, one of the more, so I would say, mind-blowing experiences, even for the neutral fan, the neutral observer.
Yeah.
Has that cushioned the blow of the past few seasons? Like, would it be, do you feel snake-bitten since then? Or what's the confluence of emotions there?
I mean, you feel like the personnel that the team has now, at least on the offensive side of the ball, is a lot better than what was able to get them to the Super Bowl, like during the Flacco era. So, yeah, it's hard to say, but you see a lot of potential, a lot of missed opportunities, a lot of, you know, the team could be, well, on paper is a lot better. And so, yeah, disappointing in a lot of seasons, especially with the kind of lack of success that they've had in the playoffs during Lamar Jackson's tenure.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
2019, you have the top seed going into the playoffs, and you have these stretches early in the season with the offense. It looks unstoppable. You even get to the playoffs this year with Anthony Brown. You're almost beating the Bengals. I mean, where are you on the likelihood they put it all together this year in both as a fan? How you talk to people when they're asking about their fantasy team, knowing you're a Ravens fan?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always bullish on the Ravens being able to make a deep playoff run. I mean, I think the fantasy, you know, having the pieces in place this year makes it seem like it's even more likely. I mean, they go out and add to their receiving core, which is probably, at least on the offensive side, the part that's been lacking the most, especially when you have guys like Bateman going down. So that's pretty big. Yeah, and then in terms of fantasy, I mean, I I hope I'm able to be objective when I'm discussing the Ravens from a kind of fantasy perspective. I'm obviously like a Lamar Jackson fan, and I like having him on my fantasy team because he puts up a lot of points. But it's not, I'll put it this way, becoming like really invested in fantasy kind of changes the way you relate to your favorite team in a way.
After the 2000 Super Bowl and after the 2012 Super Bowl, winning those, like how did that change your perspective or and in any way your desperation for seeing their success? And then also as you move into managing a fantasy website, like what kind of impact does that have?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember the 2012 one a lot better. And I mean, you know, after you kind of get a taste of that, you're always like hoping that you can, that they can repeat that. I think having that memory kind of keeps me hopeful, I would say. And it's been, you know, not like some other teams that have been kind of disappointing since coming off Super Bowl wins. The Ravens have been able to always field a pretty competitive team. So that's been, you know, there's some elements of that part that make it pretty easy. I guess I don't even know if it's so much managing a fantasy website that changes it, but just playing and having to have these guys on your team in a lot of cases, you can see ways in which on-field success for the team doesn't always match up with fantasy success for you guys. And I mean, the Ravens are especially such a big, you know, such a good example of that, where you know, Lamar Jackson rushing for a bunch of touchdowns usually means they probably win the game, but it also means Rashad Bateman doesn't get, you know, he'll get four or five targets or something. So, I mean, when you're rooting for a team, you want, you know, I always want my fantasy teams to do well as well. So I'm rooting for the Ravens in a way that it can help all my teams.
It's a good one to have as far as those two aligning. Mm-hmm. I'm a Giants fan, so like we've made the playoffs like with the least frequency of almost any team in the league the past 2 years. Like we missed the playoffs like 8 out of the past 10, and I was like, it hasn't actually bothered me that much because of the 2011 and 07 titles. I was in much more of a tormented state where we're making the playoffs all the time, but we were losing. before we'd won a title in like my waking,
yeah,
or at least my conscious life, you know, the 1990 title doesn't do me a lot as like a,
right.
You know. What got you to be a Ravens fan. What was your journey there?
I grew up kind of in the, I guess you would call it the greater Baltimore area. So just being around other people who liked the team was kind of the main thing. They were just, you know, the home team. The only NFL game I've been to have been Ravens games. So that's just the local team, I guess. I mean, I wasn't, you know, I never lived in Baltimore, but close enough that they were just the local team.
The Commanders, like somewhat, or the Washington football team, somewhat nearby, but it seems like the past regime made that a little easier to choose Ravens.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess the Ravens moved to Baltimore probably about the same time that I moved to the area. So it was kind of like, oh, you know, new team here. I don't know. They were like the cool new thing, something like that. But definitely the old Commanders regime was not made them difficult to root for. Although when I was, you know, when I was in middle school or whatever, that wasn't necessarily top of my list of things I was thinking about when picking a team.
Who's your favorite Ravens player all time?
Probably Justin Tucker. That's a weird answer, but certainly the most successful.
The greatest player at his position to do it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's become kind of a joke on these fantasy streams that I do, trying to get Justin Tucker on every team, but the kickers sometimes make a difference, less in fantasy than in real life.
Oh yeah, a lot of episodes in this show where the miss or made kick is etched in people's memory. This has been another episode of Remember That Game. Please rate, review, subscribe, and check out more episodes.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.